Serator's Daily Reading, Episode 766, April 17, 2026. Big news this week, and a lot of it clusters around the same theme: how established platforms are repositioning themselves to survive in a world where AI agents are the primary users, not just helpers. Let's get into it. Leading this off with Salesforce, which made its most ambitious architectural move in the company's 27-year history this week at its TDX conference. The announcement is called Headless 360, and the core idea is that Salesforce is exposing literally every capability in its platform as an API, an MCP tool, or a CLI command. More than 100 new tools and skills shipped immediately. The company even went so far as to say it rebuilt Salesforce for agents over the past 2.5 years. This is a company looking at the enterprise software sell-off, at the fear that AI might render traditional SaaS obsolete, and essentially betting that if agents are coming for your job, the best move is to become the best possible substrate for those agents to operate on. The key architectural insight from the interview they gave VentureBeat is the distinction between two agent patterns. They're supporting, customer-facing agents that demand tight deterministic control with explicit business rules versus employee-facing agents running what one executive colorfully called the Ralph Wiggum loop, where the agent dynamically decides its own path at runtime. Both patterns run on the same platform. That's the unifying bet. Also notable, the company is moving from per-seat licensing to consumption-based pricing for Agentforce, which is a quiet but massive business model shift. When agents, not humans, are doing the work, charging per user stops making sense. Over at Google, the news is more immediately consumer-facing, but still interesting. AI mode in Chrome desktop now opens web pages side by side with the AI mode panel, so you can search, click a link, and keep the conversation going without tab hopping. A nice quality of life upgrade if you're already living in search. The reaction online seemed positive, which is not always the case when Google ships something. On the topic of platforms choosing not to force AI on users, Canva's Melanie Perkins made a point worth dwelling on. At their Create event, they unveiled Canva AI 2.2i, which the company is calling the biggest product shift in its history. But here's the thing, you can ignore it entirely and use the platform exactly the way you always have. That's a genuinely different stance from most large software companies right now, who are essentially redesigning their UIs around AI, whether you asked for it or not. Canva has more than 250 million monthly active users, most of them non-technical, and they're betting that optional is the right call at their scale. Perkins also mentioned they trained their own foundation model with more than 100 people in the research team and hit a key breakthrough in October around generating designs in fully editable layered formats rather than flat images. Interesting also that Canva has been profitable for 9 years. Which means the CEO isn't on a public earnings call trying to explain away AI disruption. The A2A protocol for agent-to-agent communication turned 1 year old this week. Google published a retrospective, and it's worth reading because the momentum has been real. The protocol went from a Google announcement to a Linux Foundation donation within 2 months, and now has over 100 technology companies supporting it. They hit version 1.0 in March, which is a real milestone. The community also shipped signed agent cards for cryptographic identity verification and refined the web-aligned architecture for enterprise deployments. A2A is designed to be complementary to MCP, which handles tool integration, while A2A handles the coordination between autonomous agents. The Google post also flags that the A2 family is growing, with protocols like AP2 for payments, A2UI for user interfaces, and UCP for commerce, all built on the same open extensibility model. There's even an A2 April celebration happening this month, if you're into that sort of thing. On a related note, A2UI v09 shipped this week too. This is the framework agnostic standard for what Google calls generative UI, the ability for agents to dynamically generate interfaces that match your existing design system on the fly. The big change in this version, front-end developers don't want new components. They want their existing design system, so they renamed the optional component set from standard to basic to make that clearer. They also shipped an official React renderer, a shared web core library, and a new agent SDK that makes integrating A2 UI into any Python agent as simple as a pip install. The ecosystem is growing too. AG2, the creators of AutoGen, built native A2 UI support. Oracle shipped support across agents Spec, AG UI, and A2 UI. Vercel has a JSON renderer that supports A2 UI. There are live demos now for health and financial planning applications, and you can get started with a single NPX command. Shifting to product thinking, there's a really good piece this week from Marty Kagan's team at SVPG on the distinction between building to learn and building to earn. This is a framing coined years ago by product coach Jeff Patton, but it resonates especially strongly in the age of generative AI. The idea is that product discovery is fundamentally about building prototypes to learn whether you're solving the right problem, while product delivery is about building something commercial, quality you can. Sell, service, and support. What's changed now is that the cost of building has dropped so dramatically that delivery is no longer the bottleneck. The real bottleneck is in discovering a solution worth building in the first place. Kagan's team argues that too many product teams have simply become turbocharged feature factories, capable of producing bad products faster than ever. The best product managers are leaning into build-to-learn skills and developing what they call product sense. And that's where the real value is for people working in product right now. Speaking of agents and human collaboration, there's a new empirical study from the University of Saskatchewan that looked at nearly 10,000 agentic pull requests on GitHub across more than 1,000 repositories. The researchers divided developers into core contributors, those in the top 20th percentile of contribution experience in their repo, and peripheral contributors. Both groups used coding agents at similar median rates. But the peripheral developers had a subset who were heavy power users of agents, delegating broadly across bug fixes, features, docs, and tests. Core developers concentrated agent use on documentation and testing, the tedious work. More interesting, core developers reviewed agent output more intensely, with higher comment counts and more design-level feedback, while peripheral developers more often just caught bugs. And peripheral developers were nearly twice as likely to skip CI checks before merging. The researchers' advice: establish consistent review standards for agentic PRs, regardless of who delegated the work, because the social layer and project familiarity still govern quality gates, even when the code was written by an agent. NVIDIA published a detailed post on Gemma 4 this week, their open multimodal model family. The bundle includes four models, a 31B dense transformer, a 26B mixture of experts model with 108 experts, and two smaller on-device variants. All support text, audio, vision, and video, and all are available under the Apache 2.0 license. The 31B and 26B A4B support 256K context windows. The smaller E4B and E2B variants target edge and mobile deployment, including Jetson Orin Nano. NVIDIA worked with VLLM, Ollama, Llama, CPP, and Unsloth for deployment across DGX, Spark, Jetson, and RTX platforms. There are getting started guides for each. Enterprise users can also access the 31B model via NVIDIA's hosted NIM API for free prototyping. From HR Dive, a report from Docebo that is worth sitting with. Companies are spending heavily on AI readiness training, but 85% of employees say they can't apply the training they received to their day-to-day jobs. 56% of workers are so overwhelmed by manual pre-AI tasks that they don't have time to learn the tools that are supposed to save them time. 78% of learning happens outside the tools they actually use, like Slack or Salesforce, which makes the training feel like a distraction rather than an investment. The experts quoted in the piece suggest rethinking this with a timeline rather than a one-shot approach. Getting employees collaborating in spaces like Slack channels where AI wins, and starting with the actual problem you had before you throw AI at it. The broader point, AI upskilling that isn't applied within 2 weeks is mostly forgotten, and companies are discovering that the change management problem is much harder than the technology problem. And finally, from Guillaume Laforge, a hands-on walkthrough of Gemini 3.1 Flash's new expressive text-to-speech model, this time with a Java implementation. The new TTS model can be steered with audio profiles, scene descriptions, and director's notes, and you can use inline tags like excitedly or whispering to change emotional delivery mid-sentence. The demo sets up a morning DJ persona and streams the audio directly to the speakers as it's generated, using the Gemini Interactions SDK for Java. If you've been looking for a way to get expressive TTS into a Java application, this is a solid starting point. That's episode 766. Next episode. Coming next week. I'll be at Google Cloud next in Las Vegas, so if you're there, stop by the booth and say hello.